Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. This we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours to show. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours. It's yours to show.
I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Wednesday, August the 1st. Wow. New day, new month, 2018. Wednesday, August the 1st of 2018, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not and I will not waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a barn burner for you today. Woo! Hopefully you brought your thinking caps on today. Today's show come with a warning. As you guys know, it is not my job to try to insult anyone's intelligence. It is not my job to disrespect anyone. Today is going to be a uplifting and powerful and an empowering message. I declare it and I decree it in the name that is above every name. So brothers and sisters, today we want to talk about how to stop being a victim. how to overcome your victim story. Today, you're going to go from being victim to victor. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice is victorious. I declare it and I decree it. It's very important that there are to understand that we all suffer from some type of victimization. We've all been victimized at some point in some time in our life. We've encountered somebody who was a manipulator, knowingly or unknowingly, and they victimized us. And usually they were and are and maybe, and you maybe or were one, a covert narcissist. So it is very difficult to understand and handle a victimized narcissist because they are masters of projection. Now, as a retired narcissist, I under, I over, and I understand. Remember, I don't teach theory. I teach theorem. I never talk about shizness I read in books. I only talk about real-life experience. So today I'm coming to you as a retired victimizer. So I was a professional, I was professionally victimized, so I became a professional victimizer. And what I did was on a scale or a level that pales in comparison to most people's overstanding. Most people, when they encounter someone like me who is a professional victimizing narcissist, not only was I a narcissist, I was a professional victimizer. I knew how to victimize other people, gaslight other people without them overstanding. So my ability to project, now remember, a covert narcissist are professional projectors. What we do is we project our feelings onto you, and we make you think something's wrong with you. So a victimized narcissist is a master of projecting their behavior, their hurtful feelings, their lack of empathy, their lack of sympathy, their lack of ability to be honest, to be transparent, to tell the truth. They project it onto you. Now, the whole purpose is to get attention and control behavior, yours. So I need to get your attention and I need to control you. How am I going to do that? Well, I've got to make you feel something that's not real. So I got to challenge you. And the way that I do it is in a vibrational manner. It's not verbal. See, a professional narcissist who used to be a victim. Now, I need to make sure you understand the problem, because most people say, okay, I am over my victimization, meaning I am over being a victim or supporting victims. Now, remember, people who victimized were themselves victimized. This sense of entitlement is the foundation of all victims. All victims have a spirit of entitlement. Let me say that again. All victims who've been victimized unknowingly, usually, at least for me, it was unknowingly. And then when I encounter people who are still in that state of being a victim, they have a feeling that is the opposite of what the Bible called aletheia, which is the Greek word for the English word truth. So the Greek word aletheia means unclosedness. It means unconcealedness. It means disclosure of truth. A victim doesn't want to disclose anything. In fact, they hide behind or they are devoid of aletheia. That's why 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 is one of my favorite scriptures. Now, that's called the origin or the original work. So the ability to understand that there should be some type of a ontological coherence that is going on that establishes a certain amount of correspondence. Now, that should take place within inside the self. Thus, the problem. So all victims are devoid of a state of correspondence or statements which fit properly into a system that is coherent. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Now, we're getting ready to go into some deep psychological mumbo-jumbo. I need you to follow me, because if you can, you will establish a state of being evident. Now, it is a mental disposition. That's why it's called a mental problem. That's why it is a mental disease. That's why there are psychological therapists who major in helping people who are narcissists. But most of them do not understand the etymological. They don't understand the etymology of unconcealedness. So a victim is someone who's concealed. A victim is someone who holds on to their pain or their past. A victim is someone who does not see the value or the worth in being open and being honest and transparent. Now, the reason I come out and I am open and I'm honest and transparent, and a lot of people say, "Doc, man, why are you always talking about the past, dude? Why are you always talking about, you know, the way you grew up? You know, we all know, yeah, you grew up in a cult. Yeah, we know all of the bad. Why are you always talking about the bad stuff?" Because I don't want to go back to being a victim. I want to remain victorious. A victim cannot see the value in who they be. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that again. How to overcome your own victim story? How do you overcome your victim story? Let me tell you clearly and succinctly. See value in your victimization. Now, before you disconnect, let me explain. Can you make a heaven out of hell? If you cannot, you are still a victim. Can you look back at your darkest time in your life? Think back to the darkest moment of your life. Now, I know this is extremely difficult, but I need you to understand, because if you don't, you draw narcissists into your life, and then you draw people who have no interest in your life. They just talk about themselves. You're going to draw somebody who's going to always dump their woes, their problems, their issues onto you, and they never stop and think how dumping is affecting you. Every time they see you, they don't ask you about, hey, how's your day? And y'all all got friends that are victims, that are narcissists, but you don't recognize the behavior. You think it's okay for you to always be supporting them emotionally. You don't understand that their emotional account is bankrupt. You don't understand that that emotional hole is so deep that you could pour emotional support into that hole all day, every day, till Jesus comes back and leaves again, and they still will be devoid of the ability to show empathy. And you meet people like that, that no matter what you say to them, no matter what you do to them, they still lash out at you. They still dump. Now, what does that mean, emotional dumping? That just simply means that this is an individual who justifiably, now remember, victimized narcissists are masters of projection. But the key is that they actually have been in or have been in some form of abuse, a.k.a. control. Now, con means to swindle, troll, large, clumsy demon. Now, the victim feels powerless. The victim feels invincible. Invisible, the victim feels like they don't exist. Is there anybody listening to the sound of my voice who have that feeling? If you do, you're a victim. Now, you probably don't know. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm doing the show. Because after today, those feelings are not allowed. Now, you should be saying, well, Brother Will, that is very easy for you to say, brother, you ain't a victim. You might want to call me after the show, boo-boo. We need to talk. I don't allow myself. Now, I used to, when I was younger, dumber, is that a word, dumber? Well, it's a word today. Stupider, is that a word? Okay, it's a word today. Now, I'm not calling any one of you those statements. I can talk about myself, however, because I have high expectations for myself, because I know my worth and my value. Now, the devil is a liar, and the truth ain't in him. So I am not powerless, brother. I am not powerless, sister. I don't give a damn who in office. I got dunamis power. My power doesn't come from men. My power comes from God. See, a victim has an identity problem. A victim doesn't know his worth or his value. It's impossible. impossible to be a victim and be in a relationship with God. It's impossible. That means you got the wrong God. I know a lot of Christians, they got the wrong God because they're powerless. They don't have no ability to overcome their problem. I don't give a beep, 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 beep what your problem is. You feel powerless, you're a victim. You hang out with Lucien Farr. Not you personally, but, you know, people you know. Now, let me make sure you understand. This is the devil's trick. Now, is he good at his job, boo-boo? I don't know if you understand. You're not dealing with no watered-down, jelly-back, weak entity that just, you know, decided to be your adversary. No, he's been around since the beginning of creation. He is a creative being. So what he uses is, number one, powerless. Number two, invisibility. Number three, insignificance. That's the three-stranded cord that is not easily broken. You're a victim. Now, let me make sure you understand how this works, because I didn't read about it in the book. When I was a little kid, Sister X would come pick me up, and she had her helpmate. Now that I think about it, I think they were lesbians back in the day when there was no such thing as a lesbian. Because I know that there was two females, they was always together. They was really close. Now I think about it like, damn, you know what? Maybe they was, but anyway, another study for another time. But all I know is when I was a little whippersnapper, now remember, I know you've heard the story, but I need you to hear the story again. So I was little. Now this is where they train elephants. They say they get the elephant when they're little, and they put a little rope on the elephant that he can't break. Then the elephant becomes an adult, and they use the same rope that the elephant can snap just by twitching. But the elephant never twitches because he's trained to be a victim. So victimization is learned behavior. It's called learned. Don't believe me? Go to Google, type in learned helplessness. Number one, powerless. A victim is powerless. Now, a victim or a victor, he's powerful. Now, let me make sure you understand, because after today, you cannot be a member of the life management system and have these three attributes. Because these three attributes are the opposite of life management, life optimization. Because you're wealthy, you're healthy, you're wise, and you are in a toe-curling relationship. So you cannot be powerless, because then you cannot manifest wealth, health, wisdom, and great relationships on demand. So a victim is someone who don't know that they got dunamis power. And the reason that they don't know, because they've learned. It was learned when they was little, just like me. But you're not little anymore. There's no 8-year-old, 9, there's no one under the 12, under the age of 12, listening to today's show or listening to this later on YouTube. Nobody. I've never got no email from a 12-year-old saying, "Brother Will, your show was great, brother." So everybody is powerful, because right now you make decisions every day. You make decisions every day to go to work, to not go to work, to eat, to not eat, to read, to watch TV. You are powerful. You are so powerful that you are the CEO of You Incorporated. So therefore, you cannot be a victim, because you made a choice and a decision to tune into today's show. If you was powerless, you wouldn't have made the choice. You don't even have the ability to make a choice in your behalf. It is made for you. Now, you are not omnipotent. You're not all powerful, but you have some power. Therefore, you are a victor. You are not a victim. So you need to remove the label, because remember, when you say the name of the thing, you summon the substance that creates the thing. So when you say the name, when you say to yourself, "Man, I don't know how to fix this." When you make that statement, you're saying, "I'm a victim." That says powerless. Now, I don't know, you don't know, because I didn't know. I was talking to a client, and within 1 hour, he or she said, "I don't know," 35 times. That is a self-defeating prophecy that is frequently repeated, emotionally charged, establishes the program that says, "I don't know." So when the brain, when you got a problem that says we need more money, you've already programmed yourself to be the victim, because you say to yourself, just in talking, "Man, you know what, Brother Will, I'm just, you know, you know, I want to figure out, you know, I'm normally middle life, might even system, and, you know, you showed me guys my dear community report. I just don't know what to do. You know, I just said, I know I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't know. And people, I had to stop myself from saying that. I had to stop myself from saying self-defeating statements. And I have to catch myself. I got to monitor my own thoughts. See, a victorious person, they monitor themselves. They don't monitor other people. Now, most people listen to find fault. They don't listen to find power. So if you are tuned in today and you're listening to everything that I say to find a fault and that is right there, and you write it down, and Brother Will, no, listen to your show, Brother, but okay, yeah. See, a victor ignores fault. Now remember, if you cannot make a heaven out of hell, if you're in hell, don't try to get out. You turn hell into heaven. You create so much light in hell that they kick you out. Never leave hell. Make hell leave you. Become so bright, so powerful, because of your vibration, that they say, dude, you're in the wrong place. You all joyful. You got love, joy, peace, gentleness. Get up out of here, man. You know, we don't need you down here. You messing up my high. Okay, you're doing good. See, I used to have destination addiction. I was a runner. Shift this thing, go right, your boy was out. Oh, you don't like me? Okay, I'm gone. I go on a job, great job, paying me good money. Supervisor looked at me wrong because, you know, I was 15 minutes late, but I got an entitlement spirit, see. I'm a black man in America. I'm entitled to be late, boo-boo. You don't understand. Well, see, everybody else can get there at 8, but me, hey, I had a rough childhood, man. Cut me some slack, man. So, yeah, I'm going to show up late, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Then I got fired 58 times till I figured out that, hey, maybe it's not the jobs. Maybe my little dark behind got some issues I need to address. So I had to look in the mirror, and I found out that I was a narcissist. I found out that I was bipolar, tripolar, X-polar, Y-polar, D-polar. I had them all. I had polars that didn't even exist. I watched the movie Split, and I was like, damn, man, how did they know? They fools had my life story on the screen. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. And then I decided, okay, I don't want to be that dude no more. But how do I stop being a victim? How do I stop when those triggers, I would go through life and somebody would push my button and then the Hulk will come out. I'd just be at the store, man. J Money, I'd just be at the mall minding my business, bro. I wasn't messing with nobody, man. And somebody would take their basket and run into my basket. It was an accident. So I was just waiting. I was there first for the apology. And the dude, you know, he would look at me like I was at fault. So, you know, Jay Money, you know, we from the hood, homie. You know, we don't, you know, right. You know, you bump and you step on my blue suede shoes, I expect you to say, oh, sorry, man. Okay, we good. But if you step on my shoes and you look at me like, what's wrong with you, dog? Watch out. See, that's why I don't go to the club. I can't. I tried. Every time I went, it didn't come out. Bouncers were throwing me out. Because I had the wish a Negro would mentality. And I realized that meant that disposition was a flawed disposition because it created conflict. But see, it was always the other person's fault because I'm entitled. I had an entitlement spirit. I was a master of projecting my entitlement onto other people's space. And I went around expecting you to bow down and kiss my ring finger. I'm master teacher 33. You didn't get the memo? Oh, you might want to Google my name, man. Like, you're supposed to give me homage. Like, it's like the Pope and then me. It's like, I mean, like, for real? Y'all don't know? So I had a rude awakening. I mean, when I got to the Marine Corps, man, first, I never forget this. I got out, you know, I'm a Marine, dog. You don't understand. And I started applying for all of these supervisor and management positions. And they say, they'll look at my resume. I say, okay, yeah, we see, you know, oh, wow. You know, 10 years, you know, Marine Corps, meritoriously promoted. you know, you was a, you know, basically a glorified legal clerk in the Marine. So, how fast do you type? You know, what kind of paralegal skills? Because in the real world, you know, they call it paralegal. Well, in the Marine, you know, I did NJPs in the Marine Corps, you know, and I did, you know, basically I was a glorified pencil pusher. So there was no need for male glorified pencil pushers that couldn't type 60 words a minute. So I could type about 40, and I would go to all of these jobs that was high-level jobs, and basically I was just, all that I qualified for was security or secretary. And, you know, I ain't wearing no skirt, man. I'm you know, come on, dog. No. So that just left security. So, but I was like, hold up, but you don't understand. Like, I'm a Marine. Like, we snap necks. Well, there was no employment for neck snappers. That wasn't a need, at least when I got out, for people that could snap necks. So I found myself unemployed unless I was to go stand out at a construction site from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning, guarding lumber. Because there was a lot of jobs for security guards making minimum wage. So my expectations, however, I thought I was going to be running the security guard company. And then I realized that there was old, usually Caucasian guys that was running the security company who was retired colonels. They had got out of the military, too, and they had a rude awakening, too. You weren't qualified to do shizness because you really didn't teach you nothing in the military. So that glorified spirit of expectation is the foundation of all victims. Because if you cannot get past your expectations, that is unrealistic. Now, remember, all victims have unrealistic expectations and misplaced dependencies. Now, I've said this on a plethora of shows, so all of my old listeners, y'all are all saying, yeah, Brother Will, we heard that before. Okay, great. So you know. Make sure that your expectations are realistic, and make sure that you're not depending. You don't give the keys to your happiness to somebody else. That's what I did. I took the keys to my happiness, and here you go, drive my happy car. It's your job to make me happy. See, that dog don't hunt. See, if you give the keys to your happiness to somebody else, you in deep kimchi. Because it's nobody else's job to make you happy but you. So people who are victims, they don't want the responsibility. They don't want to have to take responsibility. They don't want to have to respond to the ability that God gave them, so they got to act like they ain't got no ability. Number one, powerless. Victims are powerless. Victims act like they ain't got no power. When actuality, you're fearfully and wonderfully made too. God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness too. God is not a respecter of persons. God said, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children who ask? So you got power, dunamis power. You got power to tread upon snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All who rise up against you shall fall. So, again, why worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink? Do you not know that your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things before you even ask? So, again, why do you feel powerless? Because all the scriptures I read, when you walk through the valley of shadow and death, you're not supposed to fear evil. So you got power, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Okay, we got that one down. Okay, scratch off powerless, that's a lie from the pit. Okay, what's number two? Well, number two is you're invisible. See, I grew up where not only was you not to be heard, but you was not to be seen. That's where I came from. So I was a victim. It's because they say, boy, go out. Now, I didn't have nowhere to go. But all I know is my grandmother and everybody told me, when the sun come up, you get up. I said, yeah, but it's Saturday, big mama. Now, my brother, he understood. He was up cutting grass. Me, I was in bed asleep. Until that switch hit my back, J Money. When that switch hit my back, I was up. Oh, yeah, Big Mama didn't play. So I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And my grandmother was like, I don't know. Then, you know, my dad was like, yeah, me and Betty don't want you here, brother. You got to go. So I just walked the streets. And the auto mine is the devil's workshop. So guess what I found out in the streets? It's something called trouble. And then I realized that even in the streets, I was invisible because I had no skills. I didn't have no skill set. I was just a young dude. Then I got older, went to the military, came out, got out of the military, and they said, okay, what skills you got? Okay, I'm a Marine. Okay, what can you do? Oh, I can shoot. In fact, I'm a marksman. Okay, what else you got? I can type. I can type 40 words a minute. Okay, we got Sister So-and-so over here. She's a girl. She's pretty. She's blonde hair and blue eyes. You short and black. And she types 65 words a minute. What else you got? I can run. I'm in great shape. Body fat content is under 10. Okay. Did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger? He's 6'5". He's swole. How tall are you again? Okay, next. So I didn't have no skill set. So I was invisible. Then I came home, and guess what? The only thing is I was just a glorified worker. Honey, we got bills, we got children. See, I didn't understand that the more children you have, the more money you should make. I just was popping them out. I couldn't figure out what was causing the problem. It took me a long time to figure out what caused pregnancy. See, I'm a little slow. I didn't realize, you know, until 5 kids later that there's a certain activity that you engage in, that if you engage in activities and that activity frequently, you have frequent kids. It took me a little while to figure it out, Jay Money, but I finally figured it out, Holmes. You know, if you do certain things, it's going to create a large belly. That means kids. That means more money. And you on minimum, you barely got a dime now, and you keep quitting jobs, you might be in what they call poverty. See, a victim, they don't think about how their actions create their problems. A victim, they go through life, and their problems that they create is your problem. So a victim is invisible. He can't see the fact that he or she, now in my case, I'm just talking about myself because, see, I was a professional. I was a victimized narcissist. Now, see, if most of y'all just run across narcissists. You ain't run across nobody like me. See, I was a victimized. No, I was a professional, homie. And y'all don't understand. I had the ability to make you feel like you should take all your money out of your pocket that you work for and give it to me. Because I had a sad story. And you need to listen to me. And you need to be a believer. And you need to believe my sad story so much that you go into your pocket and you help me. Because I can't get no job. I mean, like, for real, I can't work, brother. I know I'm able-bodied. I know I got the activities of my limbs. I was a young man. I was in great health. But, you know, I got to eat Captain Crunch cereal and watch TV. Because I had a bad childhood. Y'all don't understand. I was victimized, and I'm a narcissist. So I'm entitled. I need you to hear my story. I need you to listen to what I'm saying so that because I need unlimited emotional support from you. I need you to continue to make emotional and then eventually financial investments into me because I got some grandiose ideals that I want you to fulfill. Now, I ain't working. Hell no. I ain't starting no businesses. I ain't doing no purpose. My cartoons is coming on. I need you to fund my endeavors. That's what I thought. Now, the Bible calls that slack, slothful, sluggard. Now, I got a book that got all this in it that I wrote 20 years ago when God said, newsflash, feeling sorry for yourself. Now, God told me this 20 years ago. Now, I wrote a book called The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. In that book, I went through the book of Proverbs, and I broke down slack. If you're slack, you will have lack. If you're slowful, you will be put to forced labor. And if you are a sluggard, you will dream dreams and have nothing. That's what it says in Proverbs 10, and it breaks it down also in Proverbs 12 and Proverbs 14. So as a pro, now remember, I am a retired professional, victimized narcissist. So my level of psychological vibrational disharmony is like old boy in that movie Split. See, that's like the Bible says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Oh, yeah, I have many dispositions. So I had to deal with all those dispositions. Because remember, number one are the three things of a victim that prevents you from being victorious. So we spent 30 minutes talking about number one, because number one is the most powerful, because number one is powerless. All victims are powerless. Just talk to them. They can't do nothing. The white man got his foot on their neck, man. You don't understand, dude. I'm a black man in America, dog. I can't do nothing. I'm powerless, man. How much money you got? You want to donate to my cause? That's why I have a problem with, you know. Okay, I'm not going to go with that today. All I know is I'm not a fan of donations, because I did it. Me and my wife had our coffee shop, and I would never do this again. Never, ever do this again. I remember the feeling I had when I made a GoFundMe page and I asked for donations. Now, it came from a good place. We had good intentions, but we didn't have no products. See, a victim, they ain't got no products, man. They're helpless. They need a hand out instead of a hand up. Victim. Now, I know we all go through bad times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a professional 15, 20, or a generational victim. Your mama's mom, everybody on welfare, family been on welfare for generations. That's what I'm talking about. That's a victim. Powerless, number one. Two, invisible. When I was a little kid, I felt invisible. When I was an adult, I was in the Marines, I was invisible. I got out of Marines, I was invisible. I went home, I came home, I was invisible. It was all about the kids. I was never like, hey, honey, glad to come home, glad to see you home. It was like, oh, where that check at, boy? Going on. So I had three jobs. Now, I should have thought about that. Now, remember, who told me to have five children? Did anybody put a bullet or a gun to my head and say, boy, did anybody tell me to give all my money to the church? Did anybody demand that I do what I did? No. So it was my responsibility. So the number one thing, I was powerless. Number two, I was invisible because I had no skill set. See, the Bible says that your gift will make room for you and take you before kings. It didn't say nothing about you. That's why I teach purpose. Now, if you want to destroy your, again, now this is psychologically proven. If anybody want to, you know, y'all know, I want y'all to prove me wrong. Go to Google and type it in, please. Do the research and then email me. Just research what is a victimized narcissist. Not just a narcissist, victimized. Yeah. That dog right there, you run into somebody like me back in the day, oh, man, you better watch out, bro. Your emotional bank account, you're going to be emotionally bankrupt. Because every time I was around you, I had an emotional issue going on. Oh, man, the white man had his foot on my neck. Then if it wasn't a white man, you know what I'm saying, I couldn't find no job. If it wasn't that, that was always something going around. I always had an issue. My brothers and sisters in the phone, they saw it was my phone number. They didn't even answer the phone. They just go to voicemail. Because they knew I was calling to ask for money. I was homeless. My car got repoed. You know, I was, you know, oh, man. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't like answering my own phone. I didn't even like talking to myself. It's crazy. Because I was a victim. It was always somebody else's fault. I never took responsibility for my own actions. So I was quitting jobs, and I had five kids, and I knew I had five kids. I saw them every day when I came home. And then I was wondering why I was getting evicted. And I was blaming my brothers and sisters for not giving me money. Now, they got up and went to work every day, but I couldn't because I had a bad childhood. You understand? So I was entitled. Entitled to sit at home and eat Captain Crunch cereal and watch cartoons because I didn't get a chance to do it when I was a kid. Somebody owed me, man. So a victim has an entitlement spirit because they was invisible and they are invisible. So how do you destroy that? Make yourself so needed you can't be ignored. So I say, Father, I don't want to be no movie star. I don't want to be no action hero. I don't want to be no big-time athlete or no football player. I want purpose. I want to be spiritually, because the Bible says something that was, this changed my life when I read in the Bible. The Bible said that your gift will make room for you and take you before kings. And then the Bible says something about what the big G, the universe, considered wise. It says something about, you know, a wise man. Now, there's a lot of Bible verses that are very powerful. Regardless of your understanding or, you know, disdain or like of what the Bible says, it's really interesting because all of the truths in there are universal, meaning that they apply to pretty much everybody. The Bible says that a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Now, that's in Proverbs. I like Proverbs because Proverbs is considered the book of wisdom. See, and I was a young whippersnapper, and I was devoid of wisdom. So the first book I wrote, The Ultimate Secret, all of the scriptures in that book talks really comes from the book of Proverbs because I saw that I was devoid of this thing called wisdom. And I like Proverbs because it was written by King Solomon, who was the wisest man that ever lived. So I said, okay, I need what he got. So I studied King Solomon, and that's why I got into the Lesser Kings of Solomon. And I overstood what Solomon, when he was in his heyday, and then when Solomon fell, which most people don't talk about. Solomon didn't go out on top. He went out on the bottom because he started doing things that was not a vibrational equivalent to his purpose. And so that helped me to understand, along with my mentor, Dr. Miles Monroe, the importance of purpose. That, again, now I'm not invisible. Now anybody can go to Google and type in Master Teacher 33, and I'm not visible. When I go places, if they don't know who I am, I let them know who I am vibrationally. I'm not no flashy guy. Now, I could be considered, but I don't do flashy things the way I did on the level that I did back in the day because I was invisible. So I remember I used to go out when I was in New Mexico. I used to jog downtown, no shirt, heat of the day. Why? I needed to be seen. I remember I used to go to the gym. Jay Money, I would start my bench press with the dumbbells with 120 in each hand. Now, I don't know if you know anything about weightlifting. Go to the gym, put 120-pound dumbbell in one hand, put 120-pound dumbbell in another hand, and then bench press it. I would go with 120s, then I would go to the 130s, 140s, and 150s. Most gyms don't even carry 150s no more. Specially ordered 150-pound dumbbells. And I would purposely go to the gym and do, y'all know how they do. Y'all seen the big dudes in the gym. They make all that noise, throw the weights around. Why? I know they're victims. They got to be seen. Those dudes in the gym, they'll be like, ah, ah. Then they throw the weights down, boom. And everybody in the gym stop and look at him like, damn, what's that dude over? That was me. I had to be seen. Why? I was invisible. I had no substance. I knew I had no worth and no value because I had no skill set. See, the universe don't have no room for personalities. The universe only had room for God's purpose. So therefore, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So a victim is a person that has no purpose. That's why they are invisible. Because there is no room for your flesh on the earth, but there is room for your spiritual gift on the earth. Your gift will make room for you and take you before kings. So the way that you stop being a victim and become victorious is to find purpose. That makes you visible. You are invisible because you bring nothing to the table. Now, let me make sure you understand this, because I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I see a lot of people that are promoting other people's product instead of their purpose. Now, purpose means accountability. It requires honesty, integrity, maturity, and courage, because it takes some cojones to step out there on faith and to do what you've been called and gifted by God to do. Now, I'm a didactic teacher. It took me a long time to get to the place where I can earn a living by being and projecting God, my God-ordained destiny, G-O-D, God-ordained destiny, instead of my narcissistic behavior. So it took me a while, so it may take you a little while. You have to start by making yourself visible. Okay, Brother Will, how do you make yourself visible? Do you go out and do what you used to do? Jog down downtown in your city with no shirt and some Daisy Dukes on so everybody can see you? Do you turn over shouting every Sunday in church and turn over the chairs so everybody can say, "Ooh, that brother's anointed"? Do you start speaking in tongues and praying really loud so the pastor and everybody can see you and they say, "Oh, that brother, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise Jesus." Now, brother, see, you have to see the value in your past before the universe will promote your... Remember, you got to make a heaven out of hell. I used to be ashamed of my past until I realized that my past is the gas that gives me energy to create cash. I love my past. My past is my greatest asset. The way that I was raised, all of the pain, all of it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The greatest, because my darkest memories, my darkest pain is, and my darkest pain has now created my greatest gain. What's your darkest pain? See, I used to be a victim of my past. Now my past generates my cash because I take my past, no purpose, and that created a Dear Kennedy Report. Now I get paid to help other people find their purpose because I didn't have one. I get paid. I was raised in religious ignorance. Now, why was it ignorant? Was it ignorant because of the book or the symbols? No, it was ignorant because of the substance. Because I had a bad symbol converter. People could not convert parables into power. So if you got a preachers or parable converters, you better make sure that you are connected with somebody who can understand a parable and convert it into substance or power. So when you tell me the parable of the Good Samaritan, what does that mean in English? If you cannot explain it to me, then I don't leave with no power. Parables are power when you can convert the meaning. So that removes your invisibility, because the next problem is victims are insignificant or non-existent, which is similar from being invisible. Now, remember, when I found purpose, I still had no significance, and I still was non-existent. Finding purpose means nothing. That's why people tell me all the time, "Brother Will, I'm an audio." That's why I don't do Dear Kennedy Reports no more by themselves. I don't sell Dear Kennedy Reports to people anymore because I'm doing them a disservice. It took me a while to figure that out. Giving you your purpose means nothing if you do not know how to implement your purpose. Like reading you a scripture means nothing if you don't know how to implement that scripture. Scriptures don't pay light bills. You cannot go down to your local energy company and give them John 3:16. If you do, they're going to call security, and they're going to think you touched in the skull. Let me make sure, because, see, your mental intimacy, do you have any mental intimacy? Do you have any mental authenticity with God? See, I have a mental relationship with God that says this. It is, now remember, emotional matter comes from a intellectual disposition. Now, this is extremely important. A lot of people know their purpose. A lot of people know God. A lot of people can quote scriptures. A lot of people were like I used to be. I was all zeal. I love God. Still do. I love God's people. But I was powerless. I was invisible. And I was insignificant. Because I had no worth and no value and no substance. Because I was a victim. And the reason that I was a victim, because I could not see worth and value in my past. Meaning, the way I perceived reality was flawed. To me, the glass was always half empty instead of half full. I did not have, and neither do you, you do not have an event problem. You don't got a money problem. You don't got a health problem. You don't got a wisdom problem. You don't have a relationship problem. They don't exist. Because the question is, do that exist in heaven? Does God have a money problem? Does God have a health problem? Does God have a wisdom problem? And does God have a relationship problem? Now, you are the Son of God. You're made in his image and likeness. You just didn't pop up here on earth with your own accord. Contrary to popular belief, you're not all-powerful. Because if you can create a tree from thin air, send me the video. Then I will worship you as God. Until then, you're just like all of us. We are all expressions of God. We are not God. That simply means that I need to find my significance in Christ. Remember, it says in your Bible 225 times. I counted it. I recommend you count it. How many times does it say to be in Christ? How many? Answer, 225. That's how many I found. So if God took the time to tell you 225 times to be in Christ while you're outside of Christ. Now, the next question is, again, that's a symbol. Can you tell me what the symbol means, Brother Will? Well, actually, I can. I don't know if your Reverend Dr. Bishop can, but I can. Why? I got something called experience. See, I didn't read scriptures in books. I got scriptures from real life. That's different from most folk. So I got a relationship from God by my experiences. I did not get a relationship from God by sitting and listening to scriptures. Now, preferably, you have both. That's how you get dunamis power. So I got the listening first, and then I got the experience second. Now, however you get yours, no problem. You can get the parable first, and then you can get the power, or you can get the power, and then you get the parable. But you need both. Why do you need both, Brother Will? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does that mean in English? That just simply means you need to have a system that overcomes problems. What does that mean in English? That means that if you have a problem in your life, what process do you have to solve the problem? See, I got a process. Okay, Brother Will, what process do you got? It's called the life management system. Okay, what is that? Well, I went to Hebrews chapter 11. First, I went to Hebrews 6:1. And I realized, according to the Bible, which is the book of books of books of books, it's the most powerful book on the planet, contrary to popular belief. And when I went to the Bible, it said something that was profound that I hadn't heard a teacher talk before. It messed up my theology. I left the church. I went back into the world and says, devil, sign me up for your program. So I went and hung out with Lucifer. And Lucifer said, boy, we're glad to have you, but we can't use you. Now, Satan has told me this. And they said, and I asked, just like in the movie Witch Hunter, they said, you have no magic in your blood. Get out. Now, in the movie Witch Hunter, the witch kills the dude because he got the wrong blood type. Why y'all think I did series after series? In fact, I got 5 7-hour series on your blood type. Why? I did not read it in the book. So I asked Satan, how can you can't use me? They said, you ain't got the right blood. I said, what the blood got to do with it? We can't tell you because you're not of our kind. You're of the God class. You're of the God kind. I'm like, oh, what's that? He said, dude, there's many kinds of man. I got a 600-page book called The Ontological History of Mankind. I don't even sell it no more. People can't wrap their brains around it. Now, you can go to Google right now and type in how many kinds of man are there. It will say Homo sapien, Homo erectus, Homo gargantuan, Homo neanderthal. Nobody asks. Remember, I don't look at pictures. I look at frames. Since the frame was set for you, why you eat what you eat? How come you don't eat dogs, but you eat pigs? Because dogs are considered pets. Pigs are not. But who told us that? We were taught it. Have anybody ever questioned the reality or the nature of your reality? I don't think so. If you question the nature of reality, you end up like me. I don't recommend you doing it because you're going to get labeled as touched. You're going to be one of these touched Negroes that you're not welcomed in most churches. Because you considered a troublemaker. Because why? You ask questions that the Reverend Dr. Bishop can't answer. Now, I got a plethora of them. Here's one, Hebrews 6:1. Now, I've asked a lot of, now, me being a former, well, still present, Reverend Dr. Bishop, I asked myself the question. And then I did what the Bible said. If you want to know the purpose of a thing, don't ask another thing. If you want to know the purpose of the thing, ask the creator of the thing. So the Bible says ask. And it shall be given. seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. This is how you stop being a victim and become victorious today, not tomorrow. You ain't got to hang on, brother, and come back next Sunday to get your blessing. I'm going to give you your blessing today. Hebrews 6:1. Now, if you can read this and continue doing what you're doing, God bless you. Now, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, again, I'm a little slow. I barely graduated from high school. I'm technically a functional illiterate. If you don't tell me the word, if I don't hear the pronunciation of the word before it's required for me to read it, I can't pronounce it using phonics because I never learned. I know I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so I could be off. But that scripture, Hebrews 6:1 in the New Living Translation said, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again and again. Now, your Bible says that you hold here. It also says in Hebrews 6:1, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Now, first of all, you got to have the fundamentals before you can leave them. Step one, do you have the fundamentals? Now, a lot of people, they don't have the fundamentals. They don't have the fundamentals of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the problem. So before you can leave first base, you got to get on first base. So the goal in life is to get on first base. Now, remember, the object of the game of baseball is not to get on the team. The object of the game of baseball is to get on the team, get a uniform, get in the dugout. Then when you get in the dugout, become one of the starting nine. Once you become one of the starting nine, then you get to go out on the field and you get in rotation, you get up to bat. Then when you get up to bat, the object of the game of baseball is to hit the ball, to hopefully hit a home run. But if you don't hit a home run, at least get on first base without getting out. The object of the game of baseball is to get on first base without getting out. Now, that means you got to hit the ball. Now, a lot of y'all are swinging, but you strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. Next. A lot of us are swinging. Well, let me rephrase that. I struck out a plethora of times. I failed. I never got on first base. So if I never got on first base, second base is not an option. So the object of the game is at least get on first base. Then after, now remember, we're talking about how do you stop? How do you overcome your victim story? The overcome your victim story by understanding the rules of the game. You overcome your victim story by stop being powerless. You overcome your victim story when you stop being invisible. You overcome your victim story when you stop being insignificant. You stop being powerless. You stop being invisible. You stop being insignificant. You stop being powerless. You stop being invisible. You stop being insignificant. Okay, Brother Will, that is great. How are we supposed to do that, man? How am I going to stop being powerless? How am I going to stop being invisible? How am I going to stop being a poor creature? I am so glad you asked. Two scriptures, Hebrews 6:1, Hebrews 11:1. So Hebrews 6:1 tells us to let us go on beyond the elemental teachings about Christ and let us move forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. We're supposed to go on. To what? Verse 2. We're supposed to go on past the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith in God. So you're talking about dead works. Okay, let's go on. Okay, you understand faith in God. You got to have faith in the grantor of destinies. Okay, we got that. Number two, you got to have instruction about baptism. That means baptism is an outside symbol of an inside revelation. That means baptismo in the Greek. Baptismo means to immerse you in water. Water is H2O. Traces back etymology, it means hydrogenes. Hydro has to do with the mystery or the mystery. Genes has to do with your genetics. That means that I'm going to immerse you, your brain, in the myth story, the mystery of the gospel. That means you're doing what I'm doing. What does that mean? That means that you flood yourself. People ask me, Brother Will, you got too many teachings out. You got so much stuff. I don't know where to start. That's on purpose. I'm baptizing you. I'm immersing you in the gospel. That's giving you more so that way you can be immersed. You can be baptized. Now, you can do the physical baptism. That's great. But after you finish, you got to do the mental. You got to do the inside. Because God, Jesus, taught in parables. Exo, inside, outside. Then the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal life or eternal judgment. So we're supposed to do all those things. Then after we finish, there is something else that we should do. So that is the foundation of becoming victorious. Victorious is maturity. Victorious is maturity. Victorious means you grow up. A victim is not mature. It's not a mature person. It's not a mature spiritual being. To be a victim, you have to not take responsibility. You have to continue to do trauma and drama. So a victim loves to act offended over nothing. A victim loves to play the role where they overreact to non-issues. A victim likes to play dumb. A victim likes to spend a lot of energy talking about things that don't matter. A victim loves to take up all your time, your energy, and your money talking about non-issues. A victim loves to dump their emotional issues on you, talking about stuff and wasting your time so that way they can suck the life out of you. A mature person is open, they're honest, they got focus, they got discipline, they got order, they are productive, they're responsible, they have courage, they are kind, they're gentle, they exercise all the fruit of the Spirit because they are always operating in the golden rule. Because they want to do unto you what is done unto them. That's a mature person. A mature believer is someone who goes past the basic teachings that it talks about in Hebrews 6:1. That's great, Brother Will. How do we go past teachings in Hebrews 6:1? How? I understand that we're supposed to go past those basic teachings, but how do we go past? I'm so glad you asked. That's where Hebrews 11 comes in. So remember, the Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You cannot leave earth without these instructions. So how do we leave earth? Now, earth represents the body. Earth is dirt. So how do you get out of your flesh? Earth represents dirt. So how do I stop operating in my five senses and just responding to the three F's, fun, fighting, and effing? That's the earth. The earth is the root chakra. So how do I raise my vibration to my crown chakra? Okay. I'm so glad you asked. Because the way that you do that is it's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds, plural, more than one, were framed by the word, singular one, of God, the granter of destinies, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying on him by or of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet he speaks. In basic English, that simply means faith is the substance of things hoped for. So everything is done by faith. What does faith mean? Acting as if. What does acting as if mean? Holding a mental disposition that is contrary to the existing reality. That is the foundation of life. What is the foundation of life? One more time. The foundation of life is holding a mental disposition that is contrary to existing reality. Let me say that again. What is the foundation of being a victim or being victorious over being a victim? The way to be victorious is to hold a victorious disposition. Okay, but my reality, okay, we're not, reality doesn't matter because reality comes from your mental disposition. So the key to being victorious over being a victim is to maintain a mental disposition that says, I am victorious despite your reality and your feelings. So your feelings are justified, your reality are justified. We're not saying that. You can acknowledge it, that's great, but you don't hold it. You don't coddle it. You don't baby it. You acknowledge it, that's sure. Somebody did me wrong, Brother Will. That is absolutely correct. Okay, I want to talk about it. Okay, let's talk about it. Well, they did me wrong, man, and that wasn't fair. I understand. Well, man, somebody got to pay. I understand. I don't know. Who's going to pay, man? I don't know. Well, I don't know. Okay, we talked about it. Okay, well, what are we going to do next? Well, Brother Will, you understand, dog? That was no, I understand, man. I know it was wrong. But what we're going to do next? Well, I want to get them back where the Bible says, do not return, you know, evil for evil, return good for evil. Yeah, but I ain't interested in that turn the other cheek bullshitness, man. I want somebody got to pay, bro. I understand how you feel. But do you want to bring that into your life? Do you want to always be doing that and getting that? Because whatever you give is what you get. So if you give pain, you get pain. I want wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So I'm going to give wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. Yeah, but they don't deserve it. That's not my concern. But all the Bible says is give and it shall be given. Yeah, but it doesn't say who to give to. It doesn't say only give to the people who give to you. It just says give. That's the universal law. So I am going to do the things that are victorious. I'm not going to do the thing that allows me to continue to be victimized and to continue to be a narcissist. So I am going to do what it says in Hebrews. I am going to maintain a mental disposition because that creates substance that's based upon hope. So I hope that I am wealthy. That going to bring me the substance of wealth because by maintaining a mental disposition of wealth, I'm going to produce the evidence of wealth. That's what the scripture says, and I've proven that to be true. If you can maintain it in the head, you're going to hold it in the hand. The only reason you're not holding it in the hands is you're not maintaining it in the head. Maintain it in the head, you will hold it in the hands. Now, that works both ways. That's the problem. You are thinking that you're a victim, so therefore you must maintain victimhood in the hand. Think victorious, you will maintain and you will hold victory in the hands. Brothers and sisters, that dog hunts right there. That's how you overcome your own victim story. You overcome darkness with light. You overcome your own victim story. Notice it's your own. I'm not talking about nobody else. Today's message is not for other people. I know y'all hear messages and say, oh, that's a good message, brother, for somebody else. No, boo-boo, that's a good message for you. That's how you overcome your own victim story. Now, we're all victims at some level. We all feel like something unjust and unfair happened to us. That's the definition of oppression. That starts possession. Remember, the three-step process to demonic possession, to a demonic disposition, a low frequency, a victim. For you to become a victim, number one, you got to be oppressed. Number two, you got to be depressed. Number three, that leads to possessed. So don't do number one. What's number one? Oppression. What is oppression? Cruel, harsh, and unjust treatment. That is real. It's not fake. So, Brother Will, you mean to tell me cruel, harsh, and unjust treatment just happened to me? What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive and move on. Because forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. Because if you don't forgive, you're going to hold it. And if you hold it in your hand, in your head, you're going to manifest it in your hands. So if you hold, it is justified, meaning it was wrong. I'm not saying that it's not wrong, man. I'm not saying that what happened to you is right. I am not saying that. I am not saying that. I am not saying that. I am not saying that what happened to you, your victim story, is not justified. It is cruel, harsh, and unjust treatment. I'm acknowledging your story. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to be that. But by holding that victim story, you are manifesting that victim story. So I'm going to beg you and I'm going to ask you that after you examine that victim story for a victorious story, that cruel, harsh, unjust treatment, it shouldn't have happened, but it did. So what do we do next? What do we do if something bad happens to us? Well, instead of us being powerless and say, I can't do nothing about it, I'm going to be powerful and I'm going to take action. Instead of me allowing that to make me shrink back and become invisible, I'm going to use that negativity to create positivity. I'm going to take my negative past to create positive cash. I'm going to take my negative past and I'm going to create positive cash. That's going to make me and remove that insignificant feeling and make me significant. So I'm going to be, I am powerful. I ain't going to be, I am right now. So are you. I am powerful. So are you. I am visible. So are you. I am significant. So are you. Say that every day for the next 30 days. Watch what happens. Watch how it starts manifesting in your life. I am powerful. I am visible. I am significant. I am powerful. I am visible. I am significant. I am powerful. I am visible. And I am significant. Say that, my brothers, you will start to believe that. You will start to feel that. And you will start to do that. Brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, this is the part one, continue to lead you and guide you to all truth, because it will never manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity.
I'ma get this cause I got this. I'ma get this cause I got this. I'ma get this cause I accept that I got this.
Yeah, I know. Life is such a mind job. I don't pray to you, I pray to my God. It's me, myself, and I, call me tripod. I'm standing on my own, playing my part. I'm playing my part, better be the biggest one. Kinda like I'm rolling through the hood with the biggest gun. Cause when I'm true me, yeah, I got a heavy ton. No one can outdo me, how I let the levee run. Cause I'm the clever one, hopping to the Chevy, son. Stepping on your church, how I'm knocking out your reverend run. I'm really sorry, but I'm tired of the never come. Preacher talking about that money, that'll really never come. So get your kingdom up and get your kingdom in order. Stop letting entities come and beat your border. I'ma hit these entities with a fleet of mortar. Never connoisseur, I'm harder than a border. I've been doing more footprint like a dinosaur. I'm a connoisseur when it comes to dropping my manure. When I see an opportunity, I got maneuver. I send my own damn self to show me how to do it. I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
Yeah.